Fellas, I'm back from my weekend getaway in Vegas, and I got home just in time to see 15 goals in that Penguins-Caps game.
Where was there more excitement?
The Penguins-Caps game.
I'm glad you're still standing, more importantly.
I had a monster comeback on Sunday. Saturday was not good, but thank you very much to the Green Bay Packers and Pittsburgh Steelers.
That's big.
A bigger comeback than the Penguins had last night?
No, but a little bit of a comeback.
Sounds like fun.
Shall we do the show? Let's do it!
Welcome to Rangers Blue Line, covering the blue shirts from the SNY studios. Here's your host, Brian Compton.
Hello and welcome to Rangers Blue Line. Brian Compton, Nick Lacalzi, and Adam Rotter here with you in Midtown Manhattan. We're going to speak with Scott Laughlin from SiriusXM in just a few minutes. First things first, boys, we have to talk about Henrik Lundqvist. What is going on?
Well, what do you mean?
He's not playing very well, dude.
No, he's he has been struggling, as the kids like to say, and he has not been consistent, except in the way that he's been inconsistent this year. It's been a very frustrating year for Henrik so far.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it. I don't know if it's the pads, if it's the old age, if it was the World Cup, but, I mean, it's the middle of January right now, Brian, and Henrik Lundqvist is not Henrik Lundqvist yet.
861 save percentage and a 4.10 goals against in the past five games. Obviously not very good. Brutal, if we're going to be perfectly honest. But I think a lot of it has to do with the guys in front of him too, boys. Ryan McDonagh was awful this weekend. Awful.
Yeah, there's definitely a role that the defensemen and the forwards play in this. But at the end of the day, you know, Antti Raanta was great in the first period when he played.
Yeah.
Same players there. You know, and I'm not putting it all on Lundqvist. I think that there's definitely a shared blame to go around. But it's just been weird. Like, he just doesn't seem set. He always seems surprised at everything. It's like, huh? Like, what? What's going on? Oh, and that's it. He just doesn't seem confident in net right now.
Is it contagious? I mean, are the guys in front of him playing like this when Hank is in there because they don't know right now if he's going to make a save? Are they more confident in front of Antti Raanta?
I think it could have a little bit to do with that. Look, I think for years the Rangers have played better in front of backup goaltenders because they knew they had to be better. Hank wasn't there to save them. But now, yes, everybody looks nervous when they're in their own zone because Lundqvist is generally fighting the puck. He is fighting every shot. It's not the routine save that Henrik Lundqvist makes. He's not stopping. Pucks are trickling through his legs. He's given up rebounds that he never gave up before. I don't think it's just old age.
What's going on with Ryan McDonagh? Because there was one goal in the Toronto game where he had the puck on his stick in his own end, couldn't get it out. And then the Montreal game, Pacioretty, I don't know if Mac thought that Girardi was going to get him or whatever happened, but Pacioretty blew past both of them and then beat Hank for the
win. I wasn't sure if Michael Grabner switched teams on that, because Pacioretty, who's a great player,
he really is.
Shot out of a cannon, and it was just like, you know, at that point, Lundqvist just was like, whatever, you know, put it through my legs, everyone else does. But when it comes to McDonagh, I think that some of it, whenever McDonagh struggles, I always come back to the fact that I think he's probably trying to do too much. I think he's probably trying to shoulder too much of the load, knowing that the other five defensemen aren't as good or are struggling. And I think he's trying to, you know, hit the 10-run home run every single time he's on the ice, whatever that means.
Yeah.
But I think that it's just causing him to – I think he's thinking three moves ahead when he just needs to make a simple play ahead.
He's got to get back to being Ryan McDonagh, because – He's the guy that's going to carry this Rangers defense, and he can do it. Look, you've seen teams in the playoffs have the load shouldered by one D-man, whether it be Doughty, whether it be Keith, whether it be Letang. Not all defenses are six players deep. Defenses have breakdowns. They have weak spots. It's a salary cap world. It's a fact of the new NHL. But McDonagh cannot be one of the weak spots. He has to be a top 15 top 10 defensemen in the NHL every game, and everybody has bad days. Everybody's sick. Everybody's under the weather. It happens to the best of them, but it can't be back-to-back games like it was. You said it. He was awful against Toronto. He was horrendous against Montreal. That can't happen.
No, it really can't.
It just can't, and it's not only the offensive end. Like, it's not so much that he needs to be contributing offensively. It's just that he needs to be a rock on defense. He can't be the guy fumbling the puck in his own zone. letting Pacioretty blow by him. He has to be the guy when he's on the ice that doesn't make that mistake.
I'm far less concerned about Ryan McDonagh than I am about Lundqvist right now. And here's the bottom line, fellas. It's Lundqvist net from now until the All-Star break, at least, with this Ranta injury out 7 to 10 days, lower body. So he has to be better. The guys in front of him have to be better. But he has to instill some confidence in the guys in front of him that he can – he doesn't have to be the world-class, unbelievable Hank that we've seen over the past 10 years. But he can't be .861 save percentage over a five-game stretch either.
He can't be leaking goals right. like he has been. Yeah. That's really been the annoying part of it because he'll still make a few great saves.
Yeah.
He'll still be in position. You know, we were general – I was generalizing before about him. But there are times when he's still making good side-to-side moves. He's still making tough saves. It's just – the deflections, which he's always had trouble with, and then pucks just kind of leaking through that, you know, he used to be able to stop, and I don't know why he's struggling with it now. I mean, he's clearly got a confidence issue right now, but, you know, I think that everyone needs to – I'm okay with them going back to the Torts style. Bring everyone back to the house.
Right.
Play defense. You have to win games. You know you can score. Bring everyone back to the house. Protect the goalie.
Pucks never leak through Lundqvist, and that's the biggest thing for me. Is it, those are the saves that he made in his sleep, and those are the ones that are beating him now. He's still making some of the breakaway saves and the two-on-one saves. He's flashed the leather a few times the last few games, but it's the shots that just trickle through. Or the routine save, the one goal against Montreal where he had the puck twice, couldn't corral the rebound. That's what worries me. But the optimist in me, Lundqvist finally has his net back until the All-Star break.
Even
There's
if
no
he's
looking
not playing
over
well.
His shoulder.
I mean, they're not going to Hellberg, right, Adam? I mean, this is Lundqvist net from now until the break. At least.
Pending injury.
Right.
It's Henrik until Ranta comes back because it has to be. You have to give him every opportunity. In the way that I remember we were talking last week about how, you know, in Elaine Vigneault's mind, he probably thinks that on every single night, Kevin Klein's his best option. And Kevin Klein, he's always giving Kevin Klein the shot to show that. Henrik Lundqvist, you know, look, if he plays poorly tonight and he plays poorly in the next game, but he plays great against Detroit,
right?
You, it's like, well, how do you analyze that? What does it really mean? But you just kind of have to take the last thing and build on it.
I'm excited to see Lundqvist get the net here. Give him 4 or 5 games in a row. If he gives up 6, get back in there. You know, if you get your butt kicked, you got
to
show back up the next day. You can't sulk, and that's the one thing, like, watching the post-game show on MSG, Lundqvist looks beaten at the moment. And I don't know what the Rangers have to do for him to rebound, but they're not going nowhere if Lundqvist doesn't find his game. It doesn't matter if they're scoring 6 goals a game if Lundqvist is playing like this because he's not bailing them out ever. And there's going to be games. Look, 2-3 times a game, every defense needs to be bailed out. It doesn't matter what team you are. That's a fact of life.
Yeah.
Lundqvist has to be that guy.
Well, the good news is guys are starting to come back. Some bit of Jazz going to be back in the lineup Tuesday night. We'll talk about that. A little bit later in the show, Rick Nash is back, Buchnevich is back. But that being said, other guys, Jimmy Vesey has to start putting pucks in the net again, Adam. 1 goal in 14 games. Kevin Hayes has not been scoring goals at all. These other guys need to contribute as well. It's not just all about Hank and McDonagh having a bad weekend.
And yet I don't have any problem with their goal scoring because I think they are scoring goals. You know, but you're right. You know, for them to be the team that they were early in the season and for them to contend, they do need 4 lines. You know, it can't just be the Stepan line. It can't just be Nash.
JT Miller's performing.
JT Miller.
Other guys are not.
Yeah, and yet, you know, they're in games
right.
and they're able to stay close. But, yeah, for the Rangers to be really good, they need that 4-line depth. They need their power play to go. They need their penalty killing to go. And then you hope that 5-on-5, they're good enough and that, you know, Henrik Lundqvist is Henrik Lundqvist. That should be enough to win games.
It's consistency for these young guys. Mittler and Hayes and even Kreider to an extent, he's really taken that step. But Vesey and Buchnevich, they're wild cards. You don't know what you're going to get because they're so young. They haven't done it for 82 games. But now the Rangers have their core of, generally, you know what Rick Nash is bringing to the table. You know what Matt Zuccarello is bringing to the table. They can throw out a top 6 now that can really – look, they don't have the Crosby. They don't have the Ovechkin. But no one else has a second line of Stepan Kreider and Matt Zuccarello. That's tough to match. And that's where the Rangers can really start to do their damage. And if Hayes and Miller keep up the level of production that we've seen, they're a good, good team.
The collegiate schedule is roughly half of the NHL schedule. VC has one goal in the past 14 games. Do you buy into that? Does that play a role here? Is VC hitting a wall a little bit?
I think he's definitely hitting a wall. And he hit one earlier in the season, too, when he bounced back. I think with VC, you know, it's a big adjustment from going from 38, 40 games to going to 82. And I think the bigger adjustment is probably the practice schedule. And, you know, I think he talked about, you know, when he was at Harvard, they'd play on the weekends. And now he's playing almost every other night. You know, it's an adjustment. And it's something that he's going to learn from. I think Brady Shea's still going through some of it, too, because he's certainly having his moments.
Yeah.
In the not very good realm.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, he even has a year of experience in Hartford under his belt. But even then, it was still games on the weekend, practice during the week.
Feezy's been on the fourth line. He's bounced between lines. He hasn't really had a consistent spot in the lineup. Now I think we're going to see, for the next week here or two, 3 weeks going into the break, I would have to imagine that Vigneault is going to find some lines to roll with, whether it be Zibanejad and Nash, if he keeps Stepan and Zuccarello with Kreider. There's really, is it going to be Vizi or is it going to be Grabner on the third line with Hayes and Miller at this point?
We have Scotty Loughlin on the phone next. Scott, Brian, and Nick, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. You guys?
We're doing great. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. We opened the show with Henrik Lundqvist. Obviously, he's hit a bit of a rough patch here, Scotty. 861 save percentage over the past five games. What do you make of Lundqvist's game right now?
Boy, it's really inconsistent, which is really surprising because in years gone by, I mean, it hasn't necessarily been a matter of, you know, Lundqvist having to support the Rangers. It's been more or less the Rangers trying to play well in front of the King. So he's battling some inconsistency right now, and I was thinking about this earlier today. I mean, the fact is, guys, that every goaltender, even as good as Lundqvist, even as good as Brodeur was for the New Jersey Devils for all those years, even as good as Carey Price has been throughout the course of his career so far, we know that they all go through the ups and downs of an 82-game schedule. I mean, Carey Price, even as good as he was, you know, when he was the best goalie on the planet, he might still be that guy, but you look at what he's done the last 3 or 4 weeks, and he's struggled mightily, and his stats, I think, would indicate as much. So every goaltender throughout the course of a long season is going to go through the ebbs and flows of the ups and downs and the rigors of trying to get his game into a consistent winning way, I think. And right now, Lundqvist is just not, you know, seeing the puck as well, I don't think, as he normally does. He's got some great numbers against the Dallas Stars, and I know that he's looking to get things rectified tonight because clearly for the next five games before the All-Star break with Antti Raanta on the sidelines, he is going to be the guy, and nobody is going to be there looking over his shoulder, that's for sure.
Scott, do you think it's age with Henrik, or is it just a different schedule this year with the World Cup, and he's battled a little bit of an injury, and for the first time he had a backup really take some of his starts? Or is he old?
Well, it's probably a combination of both. I mean, the fact is that, you know, they're trying to limit him to 55 starts this season if they can possibly do that. You rightly point out the World Cup. I mean, he played in the World Cup. He's played a number of long playoff rounds and had some runs with the New York Rangers at Stanley Cup playoff time in the spring. So this guy, beyond what he's already played, and then you factor in the Olympic participation, where, of course, we all know we won the gold medal back in 2006 in Torino, Italy. So you factor all that in with what he's done in the NHL. And I think at times, you know, it does catch up to a veteran goaltender. I mean, Luongo's been going through the same sorts of things, I think, down in Florida the past couple of seasons. But I think that's where the onus comes into play on the coaching staff to make sure that they have the maintenance days and they have the rest and rehab available for a guy like Lundqvist. I mean, if he's going to play the rest of his contract, and we know that there's still sizable term left on his deal with the Rangers, he's going to have to be given those off days. He's going to have to maybe be spelled here or there when in years gone by maybe you wouldn't have thought of that sort of thing. So I think with a veteran goaltender, more so than a younger guy, you've certainly got to manage his minutes and manage the amount of playing time he gets.
And Scotty, this is certainly Hank's net over the next five or six games, like you said, with Antti Raanta out with this lower body injury. So do you think this will really give us a gauge of not only where Hank is physically and mentally and everything else, but what the Rangers are? I mean, this is one of the more bizarre teams in the league. You go back to the start of the year when they were scoring six or seven goals every night, and then they had a little bit of a regression to the mean. Everybody thought, okay, this is where they are. Just kind of really up and down, and now that it's Hank's net for the, you know, going from now until the All-Star break, maybe we'll really find out what the Rangers really are.
Yeah, I think that's true, and I think it all coincides, of course, with the Rangers, especially up front, getting back to full health. I mean, other than Matt Pumple, I mean, there's nobody right now with Zibanejad expected to return against Dallas. There's nobody right now, guys, that you're waiting four that's going to be walking through that door can add the injection of offense into the team and the fast-paced play and that sort of thing that served them so well, especially the first month of the season before the injuries hit. So I think there are no excuses right now. I mean, that Rangers team that we watched that in the first, you know, 4 to 6 weeks of the season was must-see television, the most exciting team in all of hockey. The team that was scoring five goals, you know, as you mentioned, at will. Yep. I mean, the fact is, I think that team has the potential to come back. It might not happen right away for a guy like Zibanejad. Buchnevich, of course, just recently returned. Rick Nash coming back after missing the eight games himself. I mean, some of these guys will have to get up to speed. But the reality is that, you know, this is the team that the Rangers had to start the season. And if all guys start clicking with the depth and offense that they've got up front, that will certainly take some of the heat off a guy like Lundqvist between the pipes.
Scott, the optimist in me looks at it the exact same way you did, that now the forward lineup is cemented and eventually, look, Henrik Lundqvist might not be the elite best goaltender in the world ever again, but he's going to be close to elite at some point this year and kick it back into gear. But is it all going to be enough to overcome the black hole that really this defense has become outside of Ryan McDonagh?
Yeah, I think the Rangers, you know, defense by committee approach, like you say, other than the captain himself who's heading to the All-Star game, no surprise there again. I think this defense by committee approach that works so well in the early going does have a tendency maybe to wear thin at times during the season. I think they've got some guys, though, back there that certainly can step up. You know, we saw the emergence of some of the young guys earlier this season with Brady Shea playing more minutes and potentially in a bigger role. I think you look at Nick Holden, I think he's been a very unheralded sort of pickup in the offseason. You know, with a guy like that, certainly you're going to have your ups and downs as well. There's a reason why he was a depth defenseman and brought in at the late juncture that he was. But I think between them, and you talk about the veterans up front, the guys that you rely so much upon, led by Ryan McDonagh, I think defense by committee is going to be okay for the New York Rangers. I mean, you also look at the team's special teams. The team's special teams, when it comes to the PP and the PK units so far this season, have been very solid, up amongst the league's best. So I think that will serve them well, too, especially when it gets to a playoff series where goaltending, of course, takes on so much significance, as well as the special teams play.
And, Scotty, the Rangers, like so many other teams, could use another defenseman before the trade deadline. But with all these teams that are still in the race, where can they really turn to find that guy?
Yeah, I guess all eyes are going to be on Colorado.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to be on Arizona with what's going on right now. Because, I mean, you look around the National Hockey League, and you're right. I mean, other than in the Western Conference with the Coyotes and the Avalanche being out of it, beyond that, though, I mean, look at the Islanders the last couple of days and the games that they've played. I mean, John Tavares being the leader that he is, yeah. Last week came out and said, look, I've got to be better, and it starts with me. What did he do? He just goes out and leads by example and puts up the points, and the Islanders get some wins. So, I mean, the Islanders here, even with their up-and-down season, and we know what it's meant in terms of off-the-ice controversy and things of that nature, even the Islanders, if they put together a nice run in a 10-game span like the Toronto Maple Leafs did a couple of weeks ago, where the Leafs went 7-1-2 to push themselves right back into a playoff hunt and, of course, into a playoff position, I think that everybody out there is in this thing right now, and I think that we're going to have to really use the next 6 weeks or so to find out who the buyers and sellers are right now. But as far as we can tell right now, you look around the landscape of the National Hockey League, and there are only two teams for me that would be open for business 100% certain, and that's Arizona and Colorado.
Did you ever expect the Metropolitan Division to blow up like this? When you really look at it, I think you could have said you see Pittsburgh and Washington at the top of the league, but to see the Rangers and Columbus really explode out of the gates like they did here, and even Philadelphia to an extent, they were up there for a good couple of months. How do you see that shaking out?
Boy, the Metropolitan Division has been just a complete beast so far this season. I mean, the Rangers, actually, with what we're talking about here, with all the goals that they've scored, for the most part, I think have deserved better. It just so happens that they're playing in the toughest division in all of hockey, and I think starting today, the Rangers were, what, sixth overall, I think, in the entire National Hockey League, and all they could get, of course, is a wild card spot at this point, comfortably into wild card right now.
Yeah.
Certainly not being pushed like Philadelphia is, but the likes of the Carolina Hurricanes and the Ottawa Senators, et cetera, et cetera. But the reality is that I think that this Metropolitan Division is going to be this way down the stretch. I think from what we've seen the first half of the season, I don't see much in the way changing there. Again, Philadelphia kind of gave it all back after they had that remarkable 10-game winning streak. They've kind of just given it all back with all the ground that they gained. So I think right now, beyond Philadelphia, the teams that we're looking at in the Metro are going to be signed, sealed, and delivered for the Stanley Cup playoff tournament. When you get to the playoffs, of course, it's going to be a complete crapshoot. And you know, look at Washington last season, 120 points, but they ran up against the Pittsburgh Penguins, and you know, they were just on fire for the last 3 months of last year's regular season, as we know, and it served them well. So it'll be tough, I think, to get through the Metropolitan Division playoffs, even if you have a crossover. Maybe you run into a Montreal Canadiens club in the first round, too, and that'll be difficult against Carey Price and company, given the fact that they are going to be healthy at playoff time. So the Metropolitan Division, I think the four teams that we see right now solidified, and again, Philadelphia is kind of hanging on, and maybe Carolina is just a day or two away from taking over a playoff spot as far as the second wild card goes. Beyond that, though, I think the top four teams that we see right now are going to be in the playoffs, and once we get to the middle of April, who knows?
Scotty, we had a nice look at the Maple Leafs here in New York on Friday night, that 4-2 win for Toronto. How's the atmosphere up there right now? That those people must be off the charts excited, right?
Well, I mean, you guys know up here. I mean, look, they're already starting to plan the Stanley Cup parade route, even though I haven't won since 1967. I mean, Leafs fans are fired up about this young team. And, you know, beyond the fact that, you know, they're maybe going to be in the playoffs. And, again, Mike Babcock yesterday was trying to put the brakes on all that talk, saying, hey, let's not carried away here. Let's not get carried away, because this team has shown signs, but they're still very, very young. And, you know, from any given night, you could see a Leafs team like you guys saw that was really, really impressive down there at the Garden. But you could also see a Leafs team that squanders a 2 or 3 goal lead in the third period and just doesn't know how to lock it down and play structured defensive-type hockey. So, again, they're seeing some great signs down there, certainly at the Air Canada Center these days. I think it all starts with Austin Matthews. I mean, this kid has just been phenomenal.
Yep.
You know, he scores 4 goals in his first NHL game. It had never been done before in the 100-year history of this league. So he sets the bar high for himself. He goes through a 13-game goalless drought. Once that, of course, had come and gone, he's been on fire again ever since. And even when he wasn't scoring goals, even the coaching staff like Mike Babcock were saying that they expected him to be a dominant center by the time Christmas time rolled around. Sure enough, that's exactly where he's at. He never does anything to really hurt the hockey team out there. And, of course, at times we have seen him do some dynamic things that, quite frankly, very few players on this planet can do.
That is a fun team to watch, boys. Scott, before I let you go, the best Kiss album is what?
Oh, boy, you're putting me right on the spot.
Yep.
I would have to say probably, I guess I'll go Destroyer.
All right, that's fair. Mine's Dress to Kill.
I guess I'll go Destroyer. I know it spawned many top 40 hits. The reality is I'm not necessarily a top 40 guy, being a male of the age of 47 going on 48. I'm very much into my deep album tracks. But I think beyond that, you go top to bottom. Probably as far as popularity and sales go, it will be Destroyer. I will add this, though, as I mentioned before, everybody's always asked me, if you had to take 3 albums to a desert island, what would they be? And one of them for me would be Creatures of the Night by Kiss, because I think that was by far their hardest and heaviest record ever.
Put them back on the map for sure. Scott, great stuff, man. We really appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
Anytime, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Scotty. Scott Lachlan, SiriusXM. You can follow him on Twitter at LachlanSXM. Great stuff from Scotty. And like he said, Austin Matthews, fun to watch. That whole team's fun to watch. I know I'm not supposed to root for anybody in particular. I hope the Maple Leafs make the playoffs.
Mitch Marner.
Yeah. Nylander. They're all Morgan Riley.
They're all young.
Yep.
They're all talented. I worry that they're a year ahead of where they're supposed to be, because I feel next season, if they make the playoffs, they're going to be looked at as Stanley Cup contenders,
right,
when they'll probably have this same season again because they're probably overachieving. But such is life in Toronto.
They probably won't win a round if they make it, but I don't want to play them in the first round. You have all these kids. They're playing with house money.
And getting there is just going to have that city jump. And look, for my money, if I'm putting together a hockey team from scratch, the GM I want is Lou Lamoriello, and the head coach I want is Mike Babcock. They took two of the greatest in the history of the game, and then you sprinkled Austin Matthews on top of it and just let that powder keg go to work.
Listen, it starts with the infrastructure with every hockey team. That's why the Leafs are trending up, and that's why the Islanders are trending down. And I know Scotty said if they go on a run like we've seen with Washington, Columbus, Pittsburgh, they're right back in the mix, but I just don't see it.
What's wrong with the Islanders' infrastructure, Brian?
I think we all
everything.
Know.
I just don't think they put enough around John Tavares, and you're running out of time to do it, because that man's prime is only going to last to however many more years, he's going to want a team that has a chance to win a Stanley Cup around him.
Yep, he certainly deserves a star winger. Maybe we'll see it with Landeskog or Duchesne. Larry Brooks had a nice story about the Islanders the other day. I just don't know if the Islanders have it in them to pull off such a deal. Anyway, you can check out the Islanders Point Blank Podcast with myself and Mike Carver. Subscribe to the SNY.TV audio network to download the Islanders Point Blank Podcast, along with this show and the rest of our original podcasts. All right, we haven't gotten to it yet. Mika Zibanejad finally back in the mix. Adam, it was, what, 25 games that he missed?
25, 26 games.
Something crazy. It's great to have him back in the mix. And maybe this gets the other guys, VC, Hayes, maybe those guys get going with the return of Mika Zibanejad.
Well, it should slot everyone into where they're supposed to be. And, you know, Zibanejad, I think that Elaine Vigneault said yesterday that there's got to be a little bit of patience because this isn't just like, you know, a little injury. This was a major injury. He missed 25 games. He missed a quarter of the season. But everyone should now be able to find their spot in the lineup over the next few games. And then hopefully post All-Star break, which is obviously, you know, a crucial 10 points before that, post All-Star break, everyone should be comfortable and ready, and everyone should be hopefully raring to go then.
It gives them the depth that has a chance to make this team special now with Zibanejad back in the lineup, because there are some wild cards that can really push the Rangers over the top. Look, Matt Zuccarello is another guy who has to start scoring. I mean, 2 goals in his last 28 games. It's been 27 games since he scored anything but an empty net goal or a shootout goal.
Maybe he misses a Zibanejad.
There you go. You know, the power play sure did. I can tell you that. He's going to look good. And just firing off the one-timers, I bet you he really helps out Brandon Peary. If he has a spot in the lineup, Vigneault's got choices to make now. He's got his weapons back to where he can pick and choose when he wants to deploy them.
I think it makes them more competitive with the likes of Pittsburgh and Washington. Yes. I don't know if it makes them special, especially if they can't play well on their own end of the ice. If Lundqvist is not going to bounce back and Ryan McDonagh is not going to help him out, the Rangers are going to have to score 6 or 7 goals every night to win games.
Right now, they would appear to be, with everyone healthy, capable of playing like that Penguins-Capitals game last night, which I don't, you know, which would be highly entertaining if you're not invested in one of the teams. But if you are, there's lots of questions that come out of games like that.
It makes their forward group special, I think is a better way to put it. Four lines
makes
deep.
Makes them better. Special, I don't like.
They're four lines
I don't
deep.
Like
they're
tossing the word special around too
five,
much.
Five, 6 goals a game
I
when they were out
that.
There. Grabner's back on the fourth line, or Vizy's on the fourth line. Those are not fourth line players.
I give you upper echelon? Will you settle for
upper
echelon?
Go upper echelon
special
until we get a little bit.
Word.
That's fair. They gotta prove it a little more. We have to see what Jesper Foss is going to be if he's back on the fourth line where he belongs. Is it going to be Peary or Lindberg as the fourth line center? But Vigneault can push some buttons now. You know, he's got some toys to play with.
We didn't talk about Mark Stahl. Is he going to be out long term? What's going on with him?
He did not skate today, but they say he's making good progress. So I would assume we won't see him before the All-Star break, but that's mostly because I'm always super conservative with these injuries, and I'd give him, especially with the concussion, I'd give him all the time in the world to get ready for the second half of the year.
I agree. Let him get healthy. I mean, he's a guy that's battled head injuries for what seems like forever now. Yeah. I mean, when's the last time outside of maybe last season where Stahl hasn't had a concussion or the eye injury? It seems like every time he gets hurt, it's his head.
Hopefully he's back sooner rather than later. Fellas, see you next week. Thanks again to Scotty Lachlan. Thanks for listening to Rangers Blue Line. We'll see you soon.
This has been Rangers Blue Line, part of the SNY.TV audio network.